are back. Did somebody say something? Yes, I did. I said, we are back. But let the song play first. Oh, okay. Jeez, I love that groove. Good afternoon. This is Luca Maino. We are back with Learn to Unlearn, finally. And I'm going to have the music stop now. That's enough, folks. Okay, cut it out. There we go. Somebody's acting longer. Somebody's playing longer than the other ones. We'll have to find out who it is. We'll have to scrutinize the video of the stage and find out who's playing longer than the other person. Just kidding. This is Luca Maino. We are back. I'm happy to be back with everybody here. And Steve is just waiting for me to introduce him, as usual, as we always do. Steve, the super producer. And without further ado, let's say hello to him first.
Hello.
Cute. I'm here. You're doing good today?
As good as I can be doing.
Yeah. We're going to have to find some firecrackers to put underneath you.
I don't think that's going to work.
Give you good energy. Well, I want to say hi to everybody in the chat also, and thank you to Annie in particular for making all this possible. And yes, I would like to ask people if they don't mind donating to hit the donate button. And, you know, even $5 a month would be helpful because, I mean, she could really help with, you know, with, how can I say that, a helping hand to run the network, because we're not doing corporate funding at all. So this is the whole interesting part of the network, because we're free and we're free to talk about what we wish for now. Right. So I have a loaded show again, Steve, and I'd like to go through all kinds of stuff. I want you to meet someone by the name of Joanna Bernard today. She's not with me, but I have a clip from her, and she's going to be talking from Madawaska, Maine. And she is the chief of the Maliseet. Well, the leader of the Maliseet Nation, if I may say, because it's Maliseet up to Maine, where the border is, and then it's Mi'kmaq, which are my people, my culture from New Brunswick on. So there's a wonderful woman with a broken heart who's going to speak to us today, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Mi'kmaq people. There's a music segment that's coming that we're not going to tell you about because that's a surprise. So a lot of it is Aboriginal oriented, and we're also going to, you know, do what we can. I'm not going to say what we're going to talk about because half the time I don't have the time to even speak about what I said I would. So we'll just go on quietly and calmly and see how far we go. I have a story to tell first. You know what I mean? Like, you get to the gathering and you grab a log and you sit down by the fire. I get a story to tell you, because I care about you guys and girls, and I've been thinking about you all week. I sat down and I jotted out a story that I remembered from a long time ago. Maybe sometime when I start telling it, you're going to go, oh, I remember. But there's a different ending to it. If you do remember it, it's kind of mumbo jumbo or big salad that I made of about three different versions of that story, with my own ending, which is really cool. So I'm not going to say it's my story, because it isn't, but the grassroots of it were taken and the rest is mine. Because I'm going to write it and I'm going to read it the way you're used to hearing me talk, so you'll figure it out. It's called Blind by the Window. Hello, Moon. Welcome to the show. You come in right in at the right time. I'm so happy. That means that this song was meant for you. This story, I mean. Yeah, it is a song, too. Brought into a hospital room with a man named George, who's already at his bed, tucked by the window, and the curtains open, lying still as the nurse passes and pushes Dennis, the new arrival, in his own bed to the other side you know, the far side of the room, away from any window or sun coming in. He had his own cubicle, you know, with that rail so you can close the drape. And due to the electrical outlets and everything needed for his care, he was put in that cubicle there. So as time passes, the two of them slowly get to know each other. They start to talk. And they can't physically see each other very well. And they begin to tell stories and share stories and experiences. Neither one of them can move from their bed. And through all of this, difficulties start to arise due to the severity of Dennis's wounds, the new arrival. And he would, for example, like be crying out at night, sometimes many nights. And George would wake up on the other side of the room and they would talk to each other, and George would help him and talk him down, talk his pain down, help him relax. And before you know it, he's asleep. They'd be going through all stuff like this all the time, speaking of the next thing, you know, like they'd be talking about it at night and then they'd speak about it the next day. Sometimes there was such closeness between the two of them in such a short time. It was amazing. And during the days, wow. Dennis, so what's going on out there now? You know, I can hear trucks going by and people softly talking. Dennis is by the window and he says, and the trees. Oh, the trees swaying in the wind and the sun. Dennis, the Canada geese are making their way back north, honking as they're flying by, right? And they don't need no police. Beautiful, fluffy clouds now, breezing by. And a funny-looking dog, a poodle. Gosh, I hate poodles. You know, I hate poodles like opera. And they laugh, okay? And they laugh together, and that makes Dennis cough. And he's going, no, don't make me cough. I can't laugh. I can't laugh. It hurts. I cough when I laugh, right? And this is how they got to know each other. And it went on for a long time, the back and forth. And also, George has his moments, right? Not being able to go to his great-granddaughter's wedding because of his hospitalization. So George would allow Dennis to ride him through that at his turn. The troubled waters of pain and suffering of the heart. And they would both imagine it. Oh, there's my granddaughter, you know, what she's wearing, you know, and she has a hairpiece that's gently touching me in my face behind her, you know. Well, where are you standing? You know, well, can't you see me? You know, and they both laugh, right? Another dreamy, rainy day with George talking about this, the speed of which the raindrops are falling now. Drip, drip, drip on the windowsill. All of a sudden, the door opens and in comes that other nurse. Kind of like that nurse that never fits into the group of nurses. You know, she's a bit bitter. She has a bitter heart. She suffered terribly in her life also, right? She enters the room kind of coldly and quickly, immediately going to wash her hands as though she was walking into the sick district or something. I use that line specifically because the sick district is special to me. And if anybody remembers and asks me, I'll let them know what the sick district was, what that was all about. And I think many of you know, if you remember me talking about bleep. So back to the story. She, then the nurse turns around and she barely acknowledges Dennis, who's in the back of the room, right? As she scoots over to George to take him over to another area in the hospital, leaving Dennis all alone in the back of the room, giving him a little cold, fake, forced smile as she starts to wheel him out of the room slowly. So she's going out of the room with George, right? Dennis watches. And he says to him, my heart and prayers are with you, George. Which was immediately answered by, and my eyes with you, dear Dennis. And of course, the old nurse kind of comes back to tidy up the room and tidy up the loose ends. Kind of looks like she was a police officer just picking up after a disaster scene, right? She walks over to Dennis, and this time looking like she had time for him and she looked nicer. Could it be? It's like, wow, okay. So Dennis inquires carefully, lying there in his small cubicle, practically in the dark. He wants to talk to this nurse, and he kind of says, you know, What did George mean by that? You heard him say that, and my eyes with you, Dennis? I'm so sorry, the nurse said, you know, now genuinely there, a completely different nurse from before. I'm so sorry. George is blind, sir. And if he could see, that's just a makeshift window. And he loves to fantasize about what's outside and how to share his dream of the world that he envisioned. He probably also wanted to pass the time and you know, his time trying to make yours a bit better and try to make you feel a little bit better. She tucks him in and she, you know, watched his mouth open in surprise and a tear roll down his cheek as she squeezes his hand and gently leaves the room and clicks the door shut. I remember that story completely differently, right? But to me, it's like, it's selflessness, you know? Caveat to me sitting there with two stage four cancers taken out, and I'm coming back and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 machines to my right. I'm wired up all over the place. The person next to me in the other cubicle, just like Dennis was, the guy's got a broken finger and he's calling the nurse more often than I am. Okay. To me, fictitious George is the salt of the earth. He's blind. Okay. Complete, legally blind. And he's entertaining Dennis. First of all, he's completely ignoring his own pain and suffering. And that's what I find so remarkable. He goes to Dennis and he's talking to Dennis like, you know, oh, the clouds, all the birds and all the, you know, and the honking Canada geese, you know. It's something to think about. How selfless are we for other people, right? See, and that's the art of love. That's what I call it. It's the art of love. There's no other way to put it. And the art of creation. Did you guys know about Queen Victoria? Steve, did you learn anything about Queen Victoria at all to change the subject?
I heard she was a man, but no, I don't know much about her.
Queen Victoria. I didn't either. And I'm sitting here with my brother from another mother, right? You know him as Rolling Bear. He's got his PhD in history. We start to talk about Queen Victoria. Luca, Queen Victoria was, her hubby was German. First thing, look it up. Don't believe me, okay? I'm throwing this out because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. We start to talk about her. In everything she did, he says, she was kind to the people. Caveat, Lady Diana, in everything she did, she was kind to the people. Just saying. She presented the modern Christmas. Affairs of the heart and family, values and morals, family work, encouragement to become successfully shrinking the separation between the lower classes. Believe it or not, the lower classes were quickly catching up to the rich. Uh-huh. She was the innovator of indoor plumbing. Only at her death, everything changed. Watch this. You want to talk about the art of destruction on so many levels? They said no. No, lower class, stay down there. And they undo absolutely everything that good people do with love. And now on so many levels, making it so that we all become dependent on their system of control, greed, and corruption. This is what this is now. You know, when I first got into this, I had those three words. They don't care. I would keep repeating that. They don't care. You know why? Because if they did, you know, if a parent loves their children, they don't do this to their children. They don't act like this towards us. Okay, so they don't care. So that means we're in the way. Right. That means they're going to hurt and put away or kill everybody that defends truth or morals or integrity. Right. Like Jordan Peterson. That's coming up. They shut him up in Congress. And this really pees me off. I just have a very small list. They're poisoning us via ocean, air, food, drink, bioweapons, engineering health issues, engineering the crash of the economy, engineering the humanitarian crises like the open border, engineering the umbrella lie of climate change in order to control everything on Earth. Oh, that's what it's going to be now. Oh, the waves are crashing harder than before. Oh, that's climate change, you know? Oh, today's colder than it was last year at this very same day. Oh, that's climate change. It's all about fear. That's what I think. And now they supposedly have a reason to pick on everything. Everything's going to be climate change. You watch now. Blaming everything on it. And they're going to blame, just like they blame the innocent people for the crimes that they themselves commit. They're always mirroring and they're always deflecting. Tell me I'm wrong. Steve, tell me I'm wrong. I hope I am.
No, you're not.
Oh, wow. I'm going to start sounding like Roger pretty soon. It's really frustrating. So Jordan Peterson goes in Congress, okay? And he's like, hey, guys, you know how many CCTVs there are in China now? Guys, this is, you know, first of all, caveat, and Steve, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. This is totally useless, what's going on right now. He's in Congress saying what's happening in China. Duh.
There's like 700 million cameras, isn't there?
Yeah, but I mean, the powers that be know that. They're the ones engineering everything. So he's in Congress talking to Congress about what they've already done in secret with China, with Rothschild, with every other country on Earth, just like COVID. They're all in it together against us. They're all making laws against us so that we can't talk, a.k.a. South Dakota just now with the anti-Semitism law. Thank you, Israel. Watch how they treat Jordan Peterson. He's talking. He has a slower pace in his words. Watch how they cut him off at minute 7.5. This is a 9-minute clip, but I'm giving you the last 2 minutes of it. So just pay attention to how he's handled.
Certain that even the perceptions that in the real world shape our attitudes, conduct, and personality can be manipulated to the degree that we will not even be able to see a reality outside which that has been constructed by the superstate, the ultimate fascist collusion between gigantic self-interested corporations and paranoid, security-obsessed, anti-human governments. We're already selling our souls to the superstate for the purposes of immediate gratification, while being enticed to do so by
fear-mongering ideologues. Mr. Chairman, could the witness be asked to summarize, please?
Do you believe that? Okay. I'm going to play that over again. Just pay attention. You know, would you shut up and get on with it? You know,
he struck a nerve.
Oh, would somebody get, you know what I mean? It's so, I couldn't believe how rude it was. Listen to it again.
Asked to summarize, please.
Okay.
For the purposes of immediate gratification, while being enticed to do so by
Mr. Chairman, could the witness be asked to summarize, please?
Do I have my 5 minutes or do I not? Yeah.
You've gone over 5.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I can certainly.
If the witness could summarize, we're always a little lenient with the time. If you could summarize,
I'll take 10 more seconds.
Sure.
Watch this.
With increasing ability to monitor not only the actual attention patterns and behaviors of its citizens, but to predict those that are most likely, the persecution of even potential crime becomes ever more likely. If you have nothing to hide, you will have nothing to fear, will be the slogan commandeered by those most likely to turn to surveillance to protect and control. What was the famous Soviet totalitarian joke attributed to Lavrenty Beria, head of the secret police? Show me the man and I'll show you the crime. Those words were true enough in the time of Stalin's KGB, and the police were secret enough then as well. But that's nothing compared to what we can and likely will produce now, a police so secret that we will not even be able to detect their comprehensive and subtle activity, monitoring crime so pervasive that everyone under the dictates of the system will have something to hide or much to fear.
Regular order, Mr. Chairman.
Done. Gone.
Yes, well, I would.
See, that's it. Okay? So, Luca is going to have his own platform. I'm going to have...
Hey, Luca.
Yes.
You know, that was the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not criticize your master.
Oh, cute. Okay. And thou shalt not tell the truth of thy master's
yes.
plans?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. That's number 12. Yep.
Wow. So this is really, I forgot what I was going to say now. It throws me off because it's so absurd. And we're not even asking the right questions. Like Einstein would even say it. You can't go into Congress and handle problems in Congress. It's not going to happen. You can't elect somebody new and fix the problems. You know, it's not going to work that way. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be set up with a platform myself. I'll let you guys know what it is, when it is, when it happens. It's going to be a platform that's going to be protected where nobody will be able to shut us off because we're going to have our own network, I believe it's called, just like the Liberty Beacon has with Roger. And they won't be able to either come in and troll or, you know, take you down, kind of like Will Turbitt. Will Turbitt on YouTube right now, Will Turbitt is talking stuff that you should, it's like class A, no, it's a big no-no, you know, the secrets and the lies of World War II, the stuff that everything is based on today, no, whatever, so it's going to be Luca talking about whatever you're not allowed to speak about until the time that we lose all our rights, and whatever happens, happens after that, I don't really know, so, you know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Who is this you're talking about? This other guy?
Will Turbitt, T-U-R-B-I-T-T. He's absolutely awesome. He was doing the producing for the RBN show that I had a couple of years ago.
Where's his platform? Where's his platform right then?
That's on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Can you send me a link?
Will Turbitt. I don't have it on me at the moment, but look it up, guys.
Will Turbitt, look it up? Okay.
Yeah. He's really, really good, and I'll give him the link to that, and I'll give it to Annie afterwards and maybe put it in the chat afterwards if I can.
How do you spell his name, his last name?
T-U-R-B-I-T-T.
Okay.
I shared the story of the robin last time and how I was sick and tired of seeing, like, trash, and I couldn't understand how animals, you know, could think of us as a good species because we, you know, we're so destructive to their world. And I mentioned that again, that when, you know, human beings realize the interconnectedness that they have, if they did feel that interconnectedness, they would be weeping in the streets on their knees. And this is what the truth is. My shows are going to become more and more, not desperate, but more and more like a cry for people to wake up, a cry for people to, especially men, to clue in and become sensitive, you know, and grow. I mean, okay, I'll throw this out. On one forum, it was new. I was the new guy. There are nine people in the forum. I'm the 10th guy right in the middle. One person starts talking about their, you know, painful childhood and their abuse in childhood, and that's fine. And everybody kind of gets really uptight and starts jittering around and moving around in their seat. I start sharing my story and when I was raped at 9 years old by the guy next door. And all of a sudden, the guy cuts me off and he says, hey, man, come on. You know, you come on here on this panel and start talking about this stuff, you're going to leave yourself wide open to be laughed at. And there was a long silence. And I clicked the mic on and I said, excuse me. I said, somebody who wants to make fun of that and laugh about that is a sorry soul indeed. Okay. You know, like WTF, I beg your pardon, you know, wow. You know, and I'm coming, you know what? It's really cool. Cause when this is what I wanted to talk about, being challenged. Okay. Being challenged in your beliefs, because when you're challenged, that's when you know your stuff or not. That's when you really know if you know your stuff or not. They tried to corner me many times. You can tell they're trolls, you know, and the people, the good people in the panel, they were just watching and listening. And Luca, we want to ask you a question afterwards, right? But the bad people, they peck at you like a bird to try and hurt you, you know? They're picking on you. They're trying to find out what your, you know, what your sensitive points are, you know? How can we make them crack? And then leave, right? No. So by being challenged, I can pretty well answer every question that would be thrown at me about World War II at the moment. I'm getting better at it by the day, which is really great. And that's the best way to be, because callers will call into the station and say, you know, or you can get emails, or you can get, you know, people in the chat fuming at you. So, A, we have to make sure as radio hosts that we know what we're talking about to the closest to the truth that our ability will be able to get us to, right? I said that backwards because that's how they say it in French. The truth, to the best of my ability, the fact that it should be useful to you and necessary. So I think that's fair enough. If I come forth with information that cleared that, I think it's pretty safe. I think we're pretty safe to say that's going to work. So I wanted to talk about challenging because, yeah, we didn't have much of that back in the day. Oh, cute. We are lucky. Yes. Challenging is really, really important. And, you know, instead of getting – see, I'm not coming from ego, okay? Just a caveat here. I'm not coming from ego at all. The person that does come from ego, you know, the chest expands. What are you talking about? Are you trying to tell me other – you know what I mean? You start getting this the person who raises his voice first lost the argument. But that's what they say. Whoever raises his voice first lost the argument. Remember that, couples. That's a really good one. So I'm being challenged on my beliefs. And that's why one of my friends who's been watching me for years, who brought me to that panel, he said, Luca, I wanted to throw you to the wolves. And I wanted to see if you could hold your own. Because now I know that you can. Now you can do something. Because when you know your stuff, when you know your stuff, when you're comfortable with your stuff, when you know what you're talking about, when you can put it on like a layer of skin, okay? Wow. Like the Native American traditions and philosophies that I speak of. Same thing. I'm living that. I'm not just teaching it or praising it, you know, or preaching it from my soapbox. Before the break, I wanted to take a few minutes just to talk about inviting healing, like I talked about last week. I wanted to just brush up on what I was talking about as far as being our natural self and drinking more water. And there's something that Rolling Bear told me for COVID also, which is really important. The nonsense of COVID, whatever you guys want to think about it, a.k.a. getting sick. Okay? Hear me. Hear me. The human body dies, according to Rolling Bear, who was a medic in the military, okay, under fire. He was the medic for his men. He says that the human body dies for two reasons, you know, breaks down and just stops for two reasons. One is inflammation, and the other one is a low immune system. If you take turmeric with black pepper, with black peppercorns, okay? You have to have the black peppercorns because that doubles the strength of the turmeric. You take that 1,000 milligrams per day, your immune system's going to skyrocket. Then with that, with a good diet, because if you don't have a good diet on top of that, you could be adding to the problem because you're getting such good stuff inside you. So you'd be having a war inside you if you ate a McDonald's or something afterwards or whatever, interestingly enough. For inflammation, it's milk thistle. I'm on 175 cap milk thistle for now. Yeah, we need to be doing that again, especially because it's coming down from the sky. Okay, remember the air, the food, the drinks, the bioweapons, health issues. If it's true or not about shedding, okay, your body's going to be taken care of. Inflammation will be stopped. And if you're in good health, your body temperature will be rising. So it'll kill anything instantly if you're in a good way and if you're healthy because of the turmeric and the black peppercorn also raising your, you know, this is what the body needs. And we're not getting that. Oh, we go to the restaurant. Oh, we go to McDonald's. Then we have the fish that we froze 3 years ago. Then, you know, if you're not putting good stuff in, that's what's going to happen. So Steve is going to tell me, Luca, you're going over again. So instead of him telling me, I'm going to tell myself that, and we'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Well, Luca. And join the social media revolution.
Luca, I was actually going to tell you about 3 minutes ago, but...
Oh, cute. Thanks for not telling me.
Yeah,
we're back, though. And we're back in fury. Should I go to the Native American segment first or not? I think I'd like to. Yes, I think I would. Because I want to address the colonial collision. And I have a clip from you that I'd like you to hear from a very special person by the name of Joanna Bernard. From Upper Maine in Madawaska. Listen to her for a minute.
I honestly believe that I'm connected with the earth and to protect as the land. This Mother Earth belongs to all of us, and we all have to do our part in caring for it. And when it comes to the culture in Madawaska, we don't have one person, not one person left that speaks the language. Yeah. And the culture, because we have, we sacrificed. Either you keep remote and keep your culture, or you be part of the whole. Yeah. And being in the community of Edmundston, we've chose to integrate and be part of that. So we pay the price today. We don't have our culture. It's gone.
Yeah.
We do everything that we can to keep it alive. I mean, we have a craft store here. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any money because you can never make the money. No. That you put into that work. But I keep it because it's part of the culture. We're trying in every way we can. And of course, with the language, there's not one person in my community that speaks Maliseet. And every time I speak of it, it hurts my heart because there's nothing I can do.
There's nothing I can do. I'm getting a welling of tears myself as I hear that. This is what it is. This is exactly what they did. And it was engineered. Okay. It was done. This is what they did to the Indian on their land, or, you know, the Indians don't even call it their land either. It's land that they have taken care of for their seven generations to come. We're the custodians. We're the caretakers of the land for the next generations. These guys here come over, and it's a collision course with people. Might makes right. I have the right to build, and the forest is there for my use, right? That's how we were taught in school. Be afraid of the forest. The forest is there for you to kill and to rape and do whatever you want with it. You know, it's not a living being. Oh, okay. So I have that saying. I'm going to say it again. You know, I've been lied to the first half of my life, and now the second half of my life, I'm literally exposing every lie that I've been told. So that screws up the rest of your life, you know, alienated because you're telling the truth. Oh, Luca, you know, wow. So I had a magical moment because I was listening to an elder talk, just like Joanna Bernard that you just heard, caught up in her tears. And he was saying exactly that, you know, the colonial way is might makes right. I can use this land and the resources to get what I want because it's untouched virgin territory, and my Christian religion says I can waste it all. I have the power over creation, and I have a right to property. Okay? The indigenous, he says, begging your pardon. Listen to the indigenous answer. Begging your pardon? That viewpoint is somewhat different from ours. As a matter of fact, it's polar opposite. No, we never had or have any right to property. The property, quote unquote, is the land, and the land are the creators, quote unquote. And we should be tending it like a garden for our children and our grandchildren to come. That's the whole idea. That's what the Indians were like. That it's called cooperation with nature. It's not slave driving her and killing her off like they're doing to us. They don't know any better. They, you know, that's what they were taught. It's a European mindset. And I'll be saying this till I die. He says, you see, this is the thinking that we have to go back to. You can already forget reconciliation because no one, you know, no one believes what they're saying. It sounds so warm and fuzzy, you know, reconciliation, but it's another lie. Because I think people in general are afraid of acting, you know, and being and emulating God or emulating Jesus or emulating any prophet that ever lived. You know, I really do. I think people are afraid of it because they're afraid of being pushed away, or they're afraid of getting out of their ordinary, you know, the everyday, the security. Okay. And here's Luca saying, no, you're not going to learn anything if you don't get out of your comfort zone. Remember the 3% versus the 97? No one's going to learn anything until they start getting uncomfortable. That's when the teachings start. It's really true. And I told you about that $10,000 desk that the Indian leader has today. Unbelievable. And he has two secretaries that you have to go through to go to him. Before, you'd walk up to his house, knock on his door, come in, sit down, have a smoke of the pipe, and talk. It's really sad. And nobody sees it. Or the people that do, they're cowards. They don't want to change anything. They'll take the little that they can, you know, handouts from the white man. That's a quote from Chief Seattle. No, it's not. That's from Afraid of His Horse. Sorry. See, so I'm learning all this stuff and I'm compartmentalizing and I'm going, oh, this, oh, look at that. Oh, look at this, you know. And it's heartbreaking. There's no other word for it. I really have a hard time wrapping my head around it. And when I heard Joanna yesterday, I was almost in tears. Because there's nothing we can do, you know. Can you imagine? Nothing we can do. She's actually saying that. I really had a difficulty with that one. So we're going to watch this destruction happening. You know, I just got disheartened the last few days, and my stress level started causing inner bleeding a bit from my stoma, the stoma coming out, and I have the bag for the urine for life. You can tell what's coming out by looking at the bag because it's transparent. You can see, you know, blood-laced urine coming out because of the stress, because of the hurt, because of the empathy, because of, you know, wanting to make a difference, because of, you know, your knowing. Can you imagine if we even knew? See, that's what I mean, being, you know, on your knees in the street weeping like a baby if we only knew what they were doing. They don't care about the people. They don't care about the genocide going on in Gaza right now. They don't. They could care less. And this is, we're really seeing the bad part of it now. See, when everybody was supposed to wake up before, nobody did. Now we're to the really bad part. Now people are just starting to wake up. So When we come back, we're going to talk about Henry Mako or Mako a little bit, or Mako. I'm never sure how to pronounce that. Plus, I have a link for you, and I'm going to take a drink of water before I can't talk anymore. You know, Steve, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I'm going to be saying that line. I got to tell you where that line comes from. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. That comes from Ray Tahanatorrence Fadden, who's a Mohawk from what they call New York now. And he's a 96-year-old, or he was 96-year-old when he was doing his 45-minute speeches that nobody could touch because he was so fast. People would come to him and listen to his speeches, and I was so blown away when I heard his speech the first time. I practically locked myself up and wrote it out manually. I don't remember how many pages there are. A 45-minute speech with a guy that talks as fast as – you never heard anybody talk that fast. You're going to write out a 45-minute speech like that word for word? Yep. And I did, and I can go over a few of them sometime if you'd like. But for now, I want to share something about the heads of state, okay? Because I said to myself, you know, heads of state, they're not who they say they are. They don't have the power. Everybody assumes they do. I'm not buying it. So I'm like, so Luca, why don't you dig a little bit, you know, and share what you find? And I find this topic right here from Henry Makow, or Makow, M-A-K-O-W, via Vaccine Hoax, who's a good friend of ours on TLBTalk.com. Liz Truss from England, she says, what I found out when I got into number 10, Downing Street, was that I wasn't holding the levers of power. The levers of power being held by the Bank of England and by the City of London controlled Office of Budget Responsibility, and not by the Prime Minister or Chancellor, head of the Treasury. So what she's basically saying is, if the Bank of England governor cannot be sacked and the Prime Minister can be sacked, then the Bank of England governor is going to have more power than the Prime Minister. And isn't that exactly the way it is? Isn't that exactly what they're doing, how they're setting things up? I think so. That's the way it's always been. See, so it's like it's coming out little by little, little by little. People are going to be going, oh, what was that? Whoa, what was that? And just ask them how much they care about the level of murderous attacks leveled on populations who refuse them. You know, that's another sign. You know, J.R.R. Tolkien and his book or the movie, Lord of the Rings, right? We only have to remove those who oppose us. Uh-huh. And then there's...
Who said that?
That's Saruman. You know, in his rant, remember? The forest will fall.
Yep. Well, that's why they're getting rid of 95% of the world's population.
Yeah, yeah. But to see it in the movie, you know, the forest will fall. What is it? The new world, the new order will rise. I don't have it in front of me, but it's just incredible. It's the same thing as the beginning of the War of the Worlds. If you listen to the introduction to the movie, the War of the Worlds, the 2005 version with Morgan Freeman, that's exactly what it is. The Rothschilds are looking at us just like people from outer space, looking at us, watching our everyday movements, you know, like bacteria under a microscope. They've been figuring us out for hundreds of years. And now you have Joanna Bernard saying, oh, well, either we have to go remote to save our language or join the whole and lose it. Because they know, as indigenous leaders, not chiefs, that's how it works. You know, everybody's going to move away to everything that's easy, the easy way. Remember? Nobody wants to do any hard work. Oh, you know what? God says if you're not going to do any hard work, you're not going to amount to anything. Zero. Oh, actually, you'll be king of inaction. You'll actually reap your rewards. You'll have zero. You'll have nothing because you didn't work for it. See, and everybody now is taking the easy way. They're actually dying for a handout. They can't wait. You know? It's exactly on cue for the destruction of America. Scary thoughts. But in Israel, you know, there's actually, you know, Bibi or Netanyahu sitting there laughing. You know, are you serious? Jet fuel, they actually fell for that? You know, Arabs with box cutters? Ha, ha, ha. You know? Meanwhile, I'm showing the picture to Steve. It's a picture of two children in a bathtub in the ruins of what used to be their home. And the father is sitting over the bathtub giving them a bath and making them smile. And, you know, amid the ruins of their village. It's something else, you know, and nobody cares. We're going to have to bring the 3%ers back, I think, Steve. Because, you know, in what was it, in the American Revolution, I believe it was, there was only 3% of the population that took up arms, right? And that sounds like us. It really does. It sounds like, well, that probably we're in there somewhere. The 3%, there certainly isn't many of us. And if you look, I'm going to say it again, if you look online, for information on the 3%ers, the very first two on Google are the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League. And remember those names. Remember Luca talking about those names as many times as I can. The Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. They're both gatekeepers for the New World Order. And that's a quote unquote from Ted Gunderson, ex-FBI chief, when he was leaving the bureau before he got shot or he got killed. Arsenic poisoning, right. That's what he said. Those two are the biggest gatekeepers. You know, Ben Shapiro, that's the same thing, right? Southern Poverty Law Center and Anti-Defamation League. You watch them carefully. Go to their website. Look at what they're saying about, oh, anti-Semitism. Oh, it's horrible. We can't, you know, we have to be friends of Israel. You know, it's all the same nonsense.
I guess Candace Owen just got fired from her job for not going along with the agenda.
Yeah. See, and she's not even saying what she wants to say. They're not allowing anybody to say it.
No.
And remember Cynthia McKinney. Cynthia McKinney went in there in Congress, and she was told to sign a pledge to Israel, because that's what everybody's doing. She said no. Look her up. Cynthia McKinney.
Yep. I had her on the show once.
M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y. I'm sorry?
I had her on the show once. Yep.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Good for you. See, and now Netanyahu can point his finger and condemn the Democrats for misplaced priorities, citing parallels to 9/11 critique. You know, and he's the one that did 9/11 under Rothschild orders. He's the one that created the 9/11 memorial in New York, a.k.a. or via, I should say, Michael Arad, A-R-A-D. The same people that do 9/11 build the memorial for the victims of 9/11. That's how much they're laughing at us. Okay? I'll say that every show if I have to. I will. I'm sorry if you're hearing noises or not. No, you might not. Not on that one. Okay? Because we already opened that picture. But it goes on, and it's so horrifying. There's no plan to fix America or anything because the plan was always to destroy everything. You know, they installed Biden. There's a good one. They installed Biden to make the controlled demolition of America appear as incompetence. Love that. You know, Steve, I'm showing this to you also. Harai Zahav, Golden Mountains, is a settlement development enterprise. It's advertising for Gaza settlements, a house on the beach. It's not a dream. We have begun clearing rubble and fending off squatters. That reminds me of Avatar. Remember when they hit the tree with the missiles? The first thing that army guy says, this is how you scatter the roaches. They're showing us what they're doing. It's not us yet, so nobody's saying anything, right? We're next. If we let this happen, this is what everybody's screaming. It's like, guys, you know, like armies are created to protect an established system, not the people. The people are in the way. They don't care. Steve, did you hear about them calling up for the army again, or conscription or whatever it's called, or being called back up?
Conscription.
Yeah, being called back up or whatever you call it, the signing up for the military, or they're going to be I heard that there's something about that. They're talking about wanting people to sign up again for the military, like veterans and that, calling them back to service. I don't know what the term is.
The draft?
Yes. Bringing back the draft. That's the quote that I heard. Yeah. There's talk of that. So, you know, meanwhile,
more power to them.
Wow.
I mean, I wish him luck. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. Good. Meanwhile, and Steve, I'm showing the image to Steve right now because it's hard to believe, in South Dakota. And I shared this before. I got to say it again. There's the American flag and the South Dakota flag with the Israeli flag in the middle of them. It's very significant. Just like gematria, just like numbers are very significant. Flags and, you know, stars and stripes and all this stuff, they're very, very significant. So Israel is between America and South Dakota. It's very obvious. To me, anyway. After having a... that wonderful guy spelled it out for us on the video. And also you're seeing that every single person in Israel comes from someplace else, a.k.a. What? Or Poland or Russia or, you know, Lithuania. Oh, okay. So they're foot soldiers of the Rothschilds controlling Israel. You know how one guy put it? He said, you know, they're a country in the Middle East. You think they'd want to get along with everybody in the Middle East? No, that's not why they're there. See? And me and my convictions. This is the hard part for me. This is where I kind of sink in my chair, because you're talking to a guy who had a stuttering problem when I was 9 years old. Until 13, at least.
Yep. I had one. I had one between the ages of 7 and 19, 20.
I think I was sucking my thumb until I was like 11 or something, until it didn't taste good anymore. You know, like real problems with development. And I couldn't understand why until I started digging into my past. And this is where this is going. So I'm, believe it or not, these radio shows are helping me go through the murky waters of my own life. See? And somebody with an ego as big as New York City, with his show and this and that, and this is what we're going to talk about today, that's the last thing they're going to talk about on their show. Good heavens. They're going to evade that. They're going to, you know, evade that like the plague. I was going to say that in French. So for me, it's the opposite. I'm sitting here going, I'll go as deep as you guys want. You know, I've talked about heavy stuff already with you, and I feel like it's family here. I'm really enjoying doing these shows because, you know, it's thanks to Rick's music, for God's sake. I said it last week, remember? It's thanks to Rick's music that I'm back on my feet and, you know, I'm sitting there dancing away and, you know, in the living room when I hear the my favorite song of his. The name escapes me right now. Andy knows it, with that big guitar and stuff. And I'm just sitting there happy as a clam, getting ready. And then Steve says, Luca, mute. I'm calling you. Okay, I'm ready. No, the producer always has to be the serious one and you know, bringing you back to earth. Luca, And it's true, you know. So we need balance, and I can't be crazy all the time. But these shows are really good for me because I'm coming back in every sense of the word, and I can feel it. It's just that the stress of daily life is really difficult, and it really surprised me that I was, you know, bleeding again. But it passes. You know, you do a meditation, it's gone. So all of this is helping me become stronger because I'm also with Balance of Nature, which I'm taking every day, which helps with the veggies and the fruits every day. So, but I will be having to stand alone in front of the world and say, you are all wrong. I'm going to have to develop that kind of courage. I'm not saying I'm going to tell the whole world they're wrong. What I'm saying is I have to develop that kind of courage. That meme that I'm showing right now, it's scary. One person in front of thousands, and he's sitting there going, yep, you guys are all wrong, with his hands in his pockets, you know? Sorry. And you know what? When you get to that point, you don't care who listens and who doesn't. You don't care about converting. You don't care about forcing your image, forcing it down your throat, you know? No. No, I'm completely content in my spirituality. I'm going to say what I have to say. And once it goes out, that's it. It's not mine anymore. I'm really, really working on that. I'm getting very personal right now because this is something I'm working on. And it's an exercise. When you say something that's very difficult to say or that means a lot to you, once you say it and you feel yourself saying it, it goes out. I learned that at first when my elder was talking about how you have to be careful how you speak, because when you throw out words, they're gone. You know, if you say something to hurt somebody, that's it. You've done it. You can't take it back. It's beautiful. So it's again, trying to be the best person I can be every day, being better than yesterday. And it's thanks to all of you that that's happening. It's thanks to all of you. You can take that home and put it under your hat for me, or touch your chest and remember that I appreciate all of you and I love all of you. And we will see you next week, because I have a funny feeling that I'm at the end of the show already and that I am 2 minutes late with my timer again. Steve.
You forgot to turn your timer on?
No, I'm at 58 right now. What are we at?
58.
Okay, we're right. Okay, so I have 2 minutes. Good. Great show. Yes, great show, Luca. Thank you so much. And next week, we're going to talk about Gojua. And that is, I wonder if I can write that down without screwing myself up on the show. K-O-apostrophe-J-U-A. Gojua. It's the gathering song. And I'm going to have you think about this for the week. You have one person coming in into the circle with a stick. And you have another person coming into the circle with a drum, right? The guy with the stick goes and sets the pace to the song. Oh, cool. The guy with the drum starts going ding, 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 ding. And they do a song with that. And you'll never guess what comes next. It's really beautiful. It's called the Gathering Song. So you get all kinds of different people of different cultures, of different backgrounds gathering together. It's really cool. So that's next week. So thanks, everybody, for being there for me. And thank you for Annie for having the network. Thank you to Steve for putting up with me. And Girl of the Moon reminds me of the picture of the cat. Oh, cute. Yeah. There were beautiful pictures of the cat in the chat. And I don't have my picture of my Geronimo. I wish I did. But my Geronimo would rub me on the forehead so hard that he would purr so loud that he would drool. That's how good we were together. Love you, Geronimo. I know you're out there somewhere. Guys, take care. We'll see you next week. And here comes my music. And I have the bass slide this time because I didn't interrupt it in the middle.